Bring the meeting to order, please. Can I have a roll call?
Kurt Olson.
Here.
Tracy Colvin.
Here.
Timothy Doherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Franson.
Here.
Robert Holtzman.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richardson.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevigny.
Here.
Michael T. Fenn.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Wolf.
Here.
Please read the public meetings act.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Hines Council has written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to news the notice on the Hines Council website.
Can you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to our next order of business, which is approval of minutes February 20th, 2014. Motion and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Ms. Carluccio?
Yes. Councilmember Dressler.
Abstain.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevicich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tefan. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. To bring us to the next order of business, which is the chairman's report. I only have one item for this evening, and that is to appoint a committee for the HTC Bank Committee. This is a subcommittee of this council to review the way we expend our funds in the HTC Bank. If there has been an influx of funds from the PSE&G money, we would like to get working on that as soon as possible. I have asked, and they have accepted to serve on this committee, is Rob Walton, Jim Vizioli, Mike Dressler, Mike Francis, and myself. Thank you all for agreeing to serve. That brings us to the chairman, acting executive director's report.
Thank you, Chairman Riley. There is really that you have in front of you. I just would like to highlight and annotate a few items. On petition approval, we all know that tonight we have Jefferson. We're on track for the presentation of Oakland petition next month for both planning and preservation areas. The documents are already posted on our website for public comment. We've been moving forward with plan conformance implementation. The activities since the prior report are in Alamuchi Township. The checklist ordinance has been deemed consistent. The exemption determination ordinance has been adopted and certification issued. The master plan reexamination report has been deemed consistent, and the master plan element has been deemed consistent. For Chester Township, the checklist ordinance has been deemed consistent. The exemption determination certificate has been issued. Highlands Environmental Resource Inventory has been deemed consistent, and zoning map amendments have been deemed consistent. For Montville Township, the Highlands Land has been consistent, and the exemption determination certification has been issued. For Phillipsburg, the master plan and examination report and resolution have been deemed consistent. For Linwood Borough, the exemption determination ordinance has been adopted and certification issued. For Rockaway Township, planning area petition ordinance has been deemed consistent. The checklist ordinance has also been deemed consistent. In West Milford Township, the checklist ordinance has been deemed consistent. Under the delegated exemption determination, MAWA issued two exemptions, one for planning area and one for preservation area. The public would like to track that. You can see our project review tracking sheet on the website. And I'm also happy to announce that on May 6th and 8th, we will begin the second round of training for municipalities for attention. So, Ken Riley, your program is going to be and you're getting a great deal of feedback on it. On a very happy note, we have some new hires and promotions to bring before you. Staff member Kim Wall-Kaiser was promoted to senior counsel.
Staff member James Humphries was promoted to principal planner slash Highlands Development credit site coordinator. And our newest member, Ian Shiland, was hired as a full-time GIS specialist cartographer, and he is here. You can stand up.
Welcome, Howard.
This is the latest edition of our project. And lastly, our annual report has been released. It's available to the public. I think you all got copies in your packet for the public if you wish to get one of your very own. They're out in the lobby. And that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, before we go on, I think you kind of skipped your report and then...
I'm sorry.
I'd like to bring up something today. As we all know, we have to hire a new executive director, and I hope that we can do it the way it should be done. Most of us are either former or present members of our town councils or freeholders, and if we were going to hire a new administrator, we would be advertising, looking at resumes, and interviewing people, and I hope we're going to go through that process. I think that we need to establish a committee of seven members. We have a diverse group of ideas here and political affiliations, and I think we need a diverse group that would be heading this search for a new executive director. And I would like to make a recommendation to the chair as far as members to a committee like this. And I would suggest these members would make a good committee because of the diversity. Council members Olstead, Carluccio, Doherty, Francis, Holtaway, Vizioli, and Chairman Riley. So I hope you'll consider that, and I'm not including myself in it. I would trust the judgment of the seven to bring us some good resumes of people that are interested in the executive director's position. Thank you, Mr. Good. Chairman.
Thank you, Carl. I do appreciate the input. Quite frankly, I planned on calling a meeting for the personnel committee probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks. There has been nothing discussed at this point in time, and I thought we raised that very issue.
I think the personnel committee is fine, but I think in this situation with the executive director, we need a special committee.
Great. Any other council comments? Seeing none, we'll move on.
One council comment.
I'm sorry.
Just sit here and go, and I think that there should be a broad search and a diverse committee to assess the candidates.
Thank you, Mr. Sedovich.
What is the responsibility of the personnel committee? Isn't that the search for personnel?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Lowe. Moving on, next item up is consideration of resolution.
Excuse me, can you hear me? Because I'm sorry, the phone is cutting in and out. I don't know if there's something wrong with the connection.
You're doing that purposely.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Ms. Carlucci.
All right, okay. I just wanted to chime in at this point that I believe we should be conducting a national search for an executive director. And I think that's really essential to take us through the RMP up very quick in time in the council's work. And we really need to pretty much go up there and scour the available professional personnel that could fill the position of executive director. And I believe that we need to bring somebody in who has not been part of this particular executive staff. Nothing against this perfectly fine person, but I think that we need to have a direction that takes this the RMP forward in a way that is complying with the Act and moving our compliance forward with the municipalities that have not been so far brought into the fold. So I think that we're going to need somebody with a fresh outlook to do that. And I advocate that we go out for a broad national search to fill this really important.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Carlucci.
Well, I may as well. I don't think we should be in any particular rush. We have a perfectly qualified person that's filling the executive director's spot right now, and I'm very satisfied in that position, so we need to take our time, and if at all, review carefully with the personnel committee what our options are. But I don't believe there's any great rush here.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. Consideration of resolution. Petition for plan conformance submitted by the Township of Jefferson, Morris County.
Mr. Chairman, we have the opportunity for first on this
one. Oh, we do. Not accurate, am I?
No. Oh, sorry.
Can I continue with Jefferson?
Never rookie nerves.
Forget it.
Thank you.
Again, this is the plan conformance for the Township of Jefferson. Can I get a motion on this?
I'll move it.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Nordstrom?
Yes. This will be presented tonight by Chris Ross and Judy Thornton. You can come up and take a seat. We also have a PowerPoint. And Ms. Carluccio, if you've got your computer on, this is where you can follow along. No? Okay.
Welcome again.
Good afternoon. Chairman Riley mentioned we're here tonight to discuss the Jefferson Township petition for plan conformance to the Highlands Council for land in the preservation area only. This slide of the governing body of the township, Mayor Pelcher. I'd like to point out here in the audience tonight is Jeff Elam from the township. He's the director of public works and the township engineer who's worked very closely with myself and other staff on the review of the petition, and he's just an incredible resource and made this whole process go through very smoothly. Thank you, Jeff. This slide shows various statistics and points of fact regarding the township. Listed on the slide are important major water bodies within the township, most notably the Rockaway River and the Klein River. There's several other water bodies as well. And also an important area of the town is the Rockaway River State Wildlife Management Area, which provides access to the Rockaway River. This slide shows the area of the township that is within preservation area land. Approximately 88% of the township is in the preservation area, that area in green. You see the planning area is the grayed out area, which comprises largely the shoreline of Lake Patcon. As I mentioned, the petition is for the preservation area land only, which comprises about 88% of the township. The petition process went through smoothly. It was deemed complete in April 2012, the petition. The municipality was very proactive in holding its own public meeting on December 4th of this last year. All the petition documents, the ERI, the element, were posted on the township's website and extended by Mr. Elon to the municipality. There were no public comments provided at that time to the township. As we briefly discussed at the January meeting, the checklist committee reviewed and approved the petition in January, and then again briefly presented to the full council in January 2014. 62% of the township is already in preserved land. We'll figure shortly that shows that. There's limited public water and infrastructure. The whole preservation area obviously is subject to the Highlands Preservation Area rules. The takeaway message in January and now today is that there are no developable parcels in the preservation area that will be subject to the Highlands Land Use Ordinance review. This graphic shows the extensive amount of preserved land in the township. Also notice some of the water bodies to the northwest. There's the Oak Ridge Reservoir, which is created by the Laquonic River. And then we mentioned the Rockaway River, which has passed through that state management area. The Highlands Council has held their own public comment period from March 14th through the 28th, at which time written comments were solicited. We only received one written comment, and it was actually an email from a property owner. that had several comments not related to the petition at all, but issues they had with their own parcel and issues they had with the Highland Act. We summarized the comments and provided a general response that was prepared in the staff recommendation report. That document and all the final petition documents were posted on the Highland Council website on April 11, 2014. The staff recommendation for the petition is to approve the petition with conditions, which include the township's approval of the environmental resource inventory, master plan element, checklist ordinance, and housing element and fair share plan, and further adherence to the items and schedule. Funding is provided for several programs and documents, including the ones listed on the slide. I know the township is most interested in the sustainable economic development plan. And it's important to note that each of these plans would be conducted for the entirety of the municipality, including both the preservation and the so that is, we'll leave it to your consideration and discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody here from Jefferson who would like to say anything on the township staff? Or?
No, Mr. Chairman. Just, again, appreciate the support raising your staff. It's been a great experience, learned a lot, and happy to finally be here and join the council for the petition.
Thank you very much.
Consideration.
Chairman, who just spoke?
You're Nathan Ryder, who's Jeff?
John Elam.
John Elam.
How about Jeff? Middle name. Township engineer and...
This is a public matter. At this point in time, I'll open it to the public. Please raise your hand if you have anything to say on this issue.
My name is Erica Van Alken. I'm a campaign and grassroots coordinator for the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. First, I'd like to say that we are pleased to see the conformance process moving along again. Because Jefferson Township has an exceptional number of highland resources, we would encourage them to consider conforming the entire municipality and not just the land in the preservation area. Just a little bit more ago, and we would encourage them to do that. We hope that the Highlands Council, under the checklist approach to conformance, will be able to implement all elements of full conformance so that the critical resources in Jefferson are protected by the goals and purposes laid out in the 2008 Regional Master Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public who would be heard on this issue? None. I'll open it up to council members. Any council members wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chris, the last, I have in front of the funded planning will cover entire municipality, not only preservation area. Is that a norm? Is that normal?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is. Okay. I'm disappointed that Jefferson, 12% planning area, did not go for both the preservation and the planning. That is their decision. Disappointing that they didn't go with the planning.
Thank you. Any other comments from council members?
Sure.
Oh, why not?
Why not? I lived in Jefferson for 9 years before I bought my first house. Love the town. It's a great town. There are problems with water, as you know. Some areas go dry in the summertime. Well fed. I mean,
what is it? Not like well fed.
Thank you. But it is a great town, so I'm happy to see you here.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing none, I guess we'll take a roll call.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Drexler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevicic?
Yes.
Councilmember Tepe?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Congratulations. Pass on my regards to the mayor and the local council.
Well, thank you.
By the neighboring municipality in Omaha. That brings us to committee reports. The first item is the audit committee, and I believe Mr. Walton will be reporting out on that.
Sure, why not? The audit committee met, as we are required to, and reviewed the findings of the audit. The audit gave us a clean bill of health from our good news, but also look at bad news. We discussed in our meeting, we would like to, there's a potential when you don't have anything in the audit that there's something missing, there's not enough depth being done on the audit. So we have discussed and would like to recommend to the full council and we changed auditors with some regularity so as to keep fresh eyes on the books. But this audit was a clean audit. We approved it, and we recommend that the council approve it as well.
Can we get that in the form of a motion?
I'll make that motion and support Commissioner with the idea of changing orders.
A second?
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion and a second. This is a, this does not require public input, so is there any other comments from council members? If not, I'll take a roll call.
Councilmember Alston. Councilmember Carluccio.
The resolution, is it the resolution on the existing verdicts?
No, this is the audit committee report.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry,
it
must be an amendment to the agenda that was sent out then?
No, it's a point of order.
I get acceptance of the audit report. Oh, yes, I vote yes.
We have a resolution approving the audit report in our packet. Should we move the resolution or should we simply pass the motion that was made? My recommendation would be to remove the motion that was made and we move to pass the resolution that was prepared.
That's fine.
So you need a mover and a seconder to agree to remove their motion.
Who made the motion?
I'll remove.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. For the resolution. And the second is the
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll call on the resolution, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressel.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtoy.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richfield.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevison.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefenk.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. The next item will be the Budget and Finance Committee, of which we have three resolutions. I would like to handle those separately, and I believe Mr. Haltaway will be reporting out, so why don't you discuss the services item first, if you don't mind.
This modification is going to allow for the creation of tracking outfalls, stormwater outfalls. As we know, the DEP has required this for some time. Lockdowns are not in conformance. It's been a rather expensive operation, and this application, not a lot of money, but compared to the sum of all the municipalities would spend trying to generate a similar thing, allows a mobile device to be used to select and find and identify these items and bring them into the GIS system in order to comply with the DEP requirements. The total amount is $20,250 to develop the application and $2,400 for the annual maintenance of the application. And this is something that will have a long life because every time there's a construction project, there's new outfalls. Every time they're modified, they have to be tagged and the status updated. So had to cope with this. This had been here 10 years ago, but it wasn't. We do have this money in the budget already, and there were alternate sources looked at for this work, but they came in at $107,000. Vertices, of course, has done a lot of our previous database work. So for them, this is a small change to a large system, and they're not starting from zero to create a new system. So the Budget Committee recommends approval of this RFP, or actually resolution to come in.
Okay, can I get a motion on this? This would be a public.
I'll move it.
You have a second?
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, I'll open it up to the public. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution only? Yes, ma'am.
Julia Thompson, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. When I read the resolution ahead of time and it said, we'll prepare a stormwater management interactive mapping application, I wondered, what's that? This is mysterious. Now you say it's mapping stormwater outfalls. I think that's a great idea. What you learned when you went through the process of figuring out where Highland types of ground are, who's got water, who's got sewer, how much information you didn't have. It's very important to know where the stormwater outfalls are, and I think it's a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Summers. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none, close the public portion. Any council members wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olmsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember
Sebastian. Yes.
Councilmember Tepe.
Yes.
Councilmember
Vizioli. Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Wong.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Staying with Budget and Finance Committee, next consideration of resolution is approval of a contract to develop a fiscal impact assessment of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act Associated Regional Master Plan. Mr. Holtwood.
Part of the whole process of the master plan revision is finding out what the economic impacts are. Rules, regulations, benefits, burdens, and this is going to be the quantification of those items as the RMP update is done. An RFP was released on December 18th. The opportunity closed on the 7th after a one-week extension to our weather conditions. Four proposals were received and evaluated by staff. The top three teams and then again scored, and we had a presentation to the Budget and Finance Committee the other day of the results and the points and everything else, and the decision was made, and the request is to authorize the contract to place works in the amount of $136,455. There's a request for a contingency of $16,645 in order to be able to handle any miscellaneous items that come up, which they always do, and this will allow us not to have to bring it back again. And the Budget Committee recommends approval of this contract.
Can I get a motion on that, please?
I'll move it.
We have a motion and a second. Public, does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Yes, ma'am.
Julia Summers, Executive Director, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I read this resolution in advance too, and of course it's blank where it says who you wish to award this contract to. So, who are place works? It's very hard for the public to comment without knowing who these people are and what their background is and what their qualifications are to do what's an important job. So I'm just up here to say I can't support it or say please don't, please vote it down because we don't know who they are.
Okay. Well, we had a very extensive report when we were there. I don't have it with me at the moment. Marcus Staff is
comfortable. Chairman, if I may.
Ms. Wall?
I would like to table this for a month. I have concerns that brought to my attention yesterday. I haven't had time to get into them, obviously. So I'm, before I would express this in terms of publicly, I think it's perfectly to be table this for the next meeting.
What is it? Are there any issues?
There's a motion to adopt a resolution. So that should be voted on first. If that fails,
or you can
withdraw, or there's a motion to table. But
no, I'm asking. Is there any issue withholding this for a month, or is time of the essence on this issue? I'm not sure what this issue is. So.
Good afternoon. Regarding the schedule begins that we presented to the Budget and Finance Committee and as well as upon start of contract. And although we have not picked a start of contract date, we are attempting to work within a time frame of 10 to 18 months from start of contract to do this work. It typically takes about 90 days from the time that a council approves a resolution for contract award, so it would delay our schedule. If we move it, a month or so, another 90 days now.
In order for me to vote for table, I kind of need to know what your concerns are.
Yeah, I was good. Mr. Goldberg?
As chairman of the committee, Andy, how much can we speak about?
Oh, you can, the committee is our public, and we go through the process in as much detail as you like. And we have the committee minutes action on the table.
Okay, the letter from that was the email I was referring to. Is that discussable?
No, there's no reason to really discuss that.
Maybe the reason.
We can say what happened. I mean, there's no secret. One of the individual firms that was not recommended by the committee, the principal of that firm sent an email in protesting the award to the recommended recipient.
Like that?
No, the price was roughly the same. The email actually said that he didn't mind losing to another firm, but he did mind losing to this particular firm.
It might be a very good reason. I mean, this particular firm isn't anywhere close to New Jersey. Maybe this firm wasn't the lowest bidder. Maybe this firm didn't have any experience in economic development. Maybe there's some good reasons why we should maybe look a little more thoroughly at who are selecting for this $150,000 contract.
That's the prerogative of the council.
It's open for discussion. I was going to open to the public first, but
I was just wondering if staff can tell us why they picked this firm over the other two firms.
Excellent question.
Just to give you a little background, the staff uses a point system, and they have a series of qualifications, and they rank them how they meet, and then they do an arithmetic sum. So, it's arrived at objectively.
Right. Yes?
Thank you. Yes, we received four bidders for this RFP when it went out, and staff reviewed those bids with identified technical teams. Their score habit not to discuss their scoring with other staff during that process. The bid envelopes are sent in separately. Those bid envelopes are not opened until a decision has been made as to who are the top scoring teams to move forward, so as not to influence the decision. The team met with their scoring. Three of the four applicants that applied for this RFP scored very closely as compared to the four that it was decided at that time to move forward with the three that were scored very closely. At this point in time, the dollars were not looked at. They were evaluated on the same technical merits, their ability to conduct a fiscal impact assessment, their ability to do it for the Highlands region, their ability to do it in accordance with the monitoring program recommendation requirements, their ability to do it based on data that was available for the Highlands region, as well as New Jersey and its surrounding areas, at a municipal, a county, and a sub-region state level. The same questions were asked of everybody. They were asked to submit examples of their work that could get, and all did so, and scored very closely. At that point in time, the three of them were asked to come in for interviews. Prior to those interviews, the questions were formed by staff. We had then evaluated the numbers. The numbers were very close, all within range of each other, which meant that the highly technical team, they had scored similarly and had been within similar budgets with the staff that they had proposed. A lot of them highlighted the difference between the economists that they had on staff versus the staff that would be supporting the economists with the gathering of data and the presentation of graphics, which typically are not the high point of economists. They're very good at putting together the data, being knowledgeable about the data, but to make that data understandable and something that we could use to communicate to the public as well as everyone, they brought together partners to assist them in that communication effort. And all three groups had the economists and the communication effort coupled to help manage this. It was also a fiscal impact team. We worked closely with the monitoring program team so there would be seamless coordination between the development of the fiscal findings that would support the monitoring program reporting. I will say Just to add some context to timing, we initially had hoped that the fiscal impact assessment would go ahead of the monitoring program report, because it would be important to have the fiscal findings prior to making decisions on the actual monitoring program indicators and milestones. So they're coming out of the box at two RFPs at the same time. Initially, when we thought about this as staff, we wanted the fiscal impact assessment to get out a little bit ahead of it so that it could complete its work and inform the end report of the monitoring program. Despite that, we're moving forward as we anticipate and within budget. So all of the three fiscal teams were interviewed. They were provided a similar question. The staff discussed them at the end of the interview. At those interviews, beyond the technical team, Mr. Davis and Ms. Lerstrom, as well as Kim Kaiser, our staff, staff attorney. And so everyone was very close. We deliberated for quite some time after those interviews about who would move forward because they were so closely tied as to their technical merits. It was decided that two of the three had represented themselves as being better communicators about what this meant to the Highlands region and the council and how they would communicate. The ultimate selection of the two that resulted was decided among staff as who would be most representation of not having any work going on or any bias from New Jersey, understanding that they would come from a clean, fresh perspective, be knowledgeable enough about what a fiscal impact is, but not have any ongoing work. Now, that was one of the decisions that were made. They are very familiar with the work that we're asking of them. They have no work prior in New Jersey to demonstrate that they've implemented any other legislation, any other county to show any bias about that data. However, they are technically skilled. The economist that was selected, about 90% of the contract is that economist's work to do this work. He has demonstrated work in regions throughout the nation and internationally, and has worked in the metropolitan area, but not specifically New Jersey.
Who are the PlaceWorks?
Right now, PlaceWorks is formerly the Planning Center, DC&E. They're located in Santa Ana, California. They have done work for the New York metropolitan area, the Connecticut area. They've done work in the Northeast, but mostly they do work across the nation for large regional entities and states.
Didn't the RFP request familiarity with New Jersey?
Yes.
So then I'm looking at the RFP, and I can tell you that has not done anything in New Jersey. Wouldn't they be automatically disqualified? But somehow they made it through that. So are we serious about our RFPs, or are we not serious about our RFPs? Now, this is a real concern for me. We cannot describe it, and someone who may be a perfectly qualified firm might say, you know what, I'm not going to work in New Jersey, so I'm not going to apply. But now we're taking somebody who didn't meet that criteria, and we're giving them a contract. It just seems...
That's a very valid question. That's a really good question to ask. And who they partnered with Mercer Associates. So the person who brings the on-the-ground New Jersey work is Mercer Associates. They're located in Jersey City. They're working with us on a TDR fiscal analysis. They worked with us on TDR grants in the Highlands region previously.
But they don't do economic development work.
Yes, they do. They do planning and economic development work, and they're part of the team. They're the team that's going to do the wraparound work for the economist work. So we do have a balance where we have a person with national skills as an economist and a local partner to do the work. So I don't know that if the resolution showed Mercer Associates as a sub on that. So I wanted to clarify for that, dear Chairman Walton, that we do have a New Jersey balance with the national economy.
The other thing is, I don't want to sound it sounds a little condescending. You know, we wanted a company that could be able to communicate with you this technical stuff that obviously is way over our heads if we're a bunch of roofs out here who don't know how to read economic development stuff. I'd rather have good data from a good firm than have somebody who's going to package it nicely. I can figure it out. I'm a bright guy. Most of us here, in my experience, are pretty bright people. We don't need to be have it watered down so we can understand it. We need good data. So if your criteria, if you're leaning more towards somebody who's going to put in a nice package and with a pretty bow, no thank you. I'd rather have somebody who's going to give me the good information. So again, my preference would be to be tabled. It's not that we vote no tonight because I don't want to have us reject the bid. Or that we vote yes, but again, I would ask the mover and the second to remove their motion, allow us, those of us that have questions, to get the RFP, look at the proposals, and do a little more before we make it. It's 100,000 on the state potentially. I'm not prepared to vote yes tonight.
Mr. Jakes?
Yeah, I mean, we go through the RFP process in accounting all the time. In the RFP, the committee that was going to be the selection committee is named, what the criteria are. So it was a fair process. You're telling me it was a fair process. I think we have to be very careful as a council to overrule a fair process, whether you like it or not, because the one who has ability to sue and win is the person who was recommended by that committee and to this board. You'd have to have a damn good reason not to give it to the company, and I don't have any idea who they are. But if they went through a fair process, whether you like that process or not, and I get what you're saying, but I think you put the entire council in jeopardy of a lawsuit that would be successful on the part of the bidder who won.
2 points. I think we're putting ourselves in jeopardy of a lawsuit if we ignore the familiarity of New Jersey under RFP, which we just did it on public record. We did.
No, she didn't say that.
No. One of the consideration was that they were not currently doing any other work that could be considered, you know, in conflict with the region or other data that the state of New Jersey had been doing.
Secondly, Mr. Chase, I'm not suggesting we reject, I'm suggesting that we delay and the evidence pulling on this before we make a vote. And our job is to take staff recommendations at face value and not scrutinize or analyze or question or vote on it, and we likely show up once a month.
I don't agree with that. When it's an RFP, it's not a staff recommendation. It's not just a blind recommendation. They had an evaluation process, which is a legal evaluation process, and came up with a recommendation in that process. You have to be very careful, because unless you're an expert and sat through it, which you really shouldn't be doing, then you're steering, the perception is you're steering a contract to somebody else. And I think that's a very dangerous, it's not you. I'm just saying that could be the perception, and it's a very dangerous perception.
But nonetheless, fair enough. But still, if we're not here to question staff recommendations, we take them as they...
I would agree to table it. That doesn't mean I'm going to not
fair
support
enough
what
fair
they've
enough
done.
Point.
But you have to do remember that the committee did read the full report, which was like 4 pages long, going through the analysis, how they looked at it, how the interviews went, and the data, and the committee supports the placement of the RFP.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I fully in support of Councilman James's comments, and I don't think we should delay. I think we should go ahead with the contract, and because they it's necessary for this to go ahead, and the objection by Councilman Walton is too weak.
Mayor,
I just want to follow up on you.
It's okay.
You might get him upset when you reveal the email. Now that it has come to light somewhat in detail, I deal with this stuff all the time when people don't get the bid. Has the person who sent the email indicated that you will file a lawsuit based on criteria? Protest, or is he going to actually in correspondence say that you will file an appeal?
Chairman, at this point,
yes,
I would also ask the attorney if we're in a position where we should take this in a closed session, because it could,
it's not a bad idea.
It's a pretty good idea. In litigation.
Too long table and take it to close.
Are you going to finish all the comments?
Yes. What do we use to
you jumped in before.
We should forget about that.
Any other comments?
No, I do. I think that's a good idea, but the public hadn't finished, so we should probably finish the public and we'll be speaking.
I have one question.
Okay, I did think they finished.
The council is delegating contracts, and the process is that we have a committee that reviews the applicants for the contract. Did our committee review all three contractors?
We did not interview the contractors. We were not involved in any of the interviews, selection of the technical committee. We received the scoring. We got the scoring that they had. We got the comments, the rationale.
You saw the criteria.
We saw the criteria and we saw the pricing. And
I would like to see that the council have more than an up and down vote on every contract. I think we should be more involved at the committee level with the selection of the contractors. Not only this one, all of them. This is, I think, more important than some of the others, but I think that we, with that authority, we should have more input in the decision of which contractors we
I think we need to come up with a clear policy then, because we delegate these items to committees.
I'm surprised nothing in the bylaws where it said that.
Said what?
That we delegate the authority to the staff on that particular, right?
They make recommendations.
In the act that we are delegated the authority, we are responsible for awarding contracts.
Just for the public, and we did finish the public session, you're right, Mr. Walton. So, we'll talk about that later. We did finish the public session.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But I will open it again anyway.
Okay.
Anything else, Mr. Brooks?
Nothing.
Let me get some public comments, and then we'll decide if we want to table this. I'm not sure I agree with it, but tabling it, but based upon where the comment came from, but let's see.
Analysis from the attorney on.
That's fair. Maybe we can deal with it at the end of this meeting and then come out and take action if we need a chance to move forward. At this point in time, we'll reopen the public session on this issue because of the dialogue that just took place. Yes, sir.
This is a practical matter of technique. What we've just gone through is a demonstration of what's so good about transparency. And the public didn't get to know who is going to be the person who's going to be awarded the bid. Certainly, George Stafford with the Highlands Council on the Borough. From the Borough Board. Highlands Coalition.
You appointed
yourself. I didn't say commission. I get commission all the time. At any rate, one of the virtues of transparency is you would save yourself a lot of trouble here tonight if we had known who that person was that was going to get the bid, and people had the opportunity to go out and research what was going on. And if the council had better information about who it was going to get them in. So when we go forward with things like the master plan and we want to keep the process private until we end up the results, you guys could spend years here on the master plan doing stuff like this. So I just want to urge you to the benefits, the practical benefits of transparency. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to say something on that issue, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify with respect to the posting of the draft resolutions. Initially, when we publish the agenda, we do not have the names of the recommended consulting team or the dollar figures up on the website because in this particular finance committee of the council had not yet met to receive the staff's recommendation. So at that point in time when they were initially posted, that's why they were left blank. And you're not going to put a name on staff recognition. It's nothing. There's no delegation to the staff. It's a recommendation to a committee of the council. Once the Budget and Finance Committee met, and by the way, it was a second committee, the Regional Master Plan Update Committee was also briefed last week on the staff's process and on the staff's recommendation. And once those recommendations were approved by the committees, at that point in time, we replaced the resolutions on the website with the actual names of the proposed winning teams and the dollar figures. And as a courtesy to the responding entities, what we do is after the committee makes it definitive what the council is going to be, staff places calls to all the respondents just as a courtesy to indicate to them what the committee's recommendation is going to be. So that was the process. So,
may I recommend that in the future, if we have to hold off the vote for a month to get the name and the amount in the on the website so that there is full disclosure, we do so. So we don't run into this problem. The public not having a person there and the amount. If we have to wait a month, we wait a month. Please let us get it done well.
Thank you, Mr. Dresser. We'll go back to the public session with anybody in the public wish to be heard.
This is perhaps the most critical of all Highland studies, and yet the important questions pertain to structure, information required, methodology, and requisite respondent qualifications whenever discussed at a council meeting. In fact, this issue is so contentious and so complex that the council would have been well advised to solicit a top accounting firm just to define the scope of work. The questions needing answered and the required methodologies are perhaps the most challenging task. This RFP scope of services to address the economic impacts of this region is less than a page. And in fact, the meat is only a paragraph. This RFP is also designed to focus on the financial impacts to local governments rather than the region's residents and businesses. That's how Detroit became a farming community again. More importantly, it directs the respondent to use the methodology developed as part of the 2008 Financial Analysis Technical Report and the RMP planning assumptions. I'm sure this indicates that to get to any desired answer requires nothing more than controlling the questions asked and the required methodology. Let's look at some of those assumptions that are in basis of the RFP. The sustainability provided by the Highlands rules and regulations will attract businesses. Well, that's a guiding assumption why we decided. Land use constraints increase land value. The loss of development rights have no impact on the ability to finance continued farm operations. Anyone here really think the state lost its competitive business edge because of unbalanced development patterns? Nowhere is the most important question asked, is the Highlands economic vision survivable? As an example, the plan assumes agriculture will play a leading economic role. Well, the average farmer is now near 60. The average net income per acre is less than $40. And the average farm grosses under $30,000 a year. Farm families lost farm jobs to survive. So how has the act impacted these lost farm jobs? The increasing age of Highlands farmers might suggest not very well. We won't know, however, because this RFP doesn't allow for the question. This RFP will do nothing to engender public trust, made more difficult by the fact your staff has chosen a California firm with strong ideological leanings, despite the assertions of a clean, fresh perspective. Please, discuss these important economic issues in a public meeting. Get professional advice on the required scope of work, and then put out an RFP that all interests can trust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did anybody else in the public want to be heard on this issue? Yeah.
That you know, all these things which may not be there in numbers right now. They may not exist because it's not being counted. So I think a, you know, far-sighted economics firm could do with that, but I don't know whether this proposal asks them to do anything like that.
Thank you.
In preparation for this meeting, I looked into my voluminous file cabinet and found information about when the Hotman Pineman did this came out, and found that their report was criticized because they had included in it every town in South Jersey in the Pineman, whereas the question people would have is how is it affected towns that are mostly in Pineman. And another shortcoming was that it didn't look at the values of vacant land over the time after the plan was adopted. So I think I kind of echo the last two speakers that to make this really credible, it's very complicated. You've got towns that conform the whole town. You've got towns that just did the plant preservation area, and I'm not sure how to handle the diversity between them. But the questions that they're going to ask and the kind of data they're going to go after is certainly going to affect the credibility of the report and the usefulness of it as you go ahead with your changing the master plan.
Thank you.
Public question here?
Yes, sir.
My name is Deborah Post, property owner, Chester Township. PlaceWorks website provides a long listing of clients that are indeed diverse. However, they are a California-based firm without much East Coast experience based on their client listing. The West is a place where landowners own the water and water rights. The idea that not only do landowners not own the water rights on their land in New Jersey, but that water can be used as an excuse to eviscerate a farmer's equity must seem quite alien to them. PlaceWorks website also indicates that they have some experience with TDR programs that actually work. My question, will PlaceWorks assignment include a detailed analysis of the fiscal impact on landowners' equity of the Highland Back Master Plan? Will PlaceWorks assignment include an analysis of the aggregate cost of lost property values to Highland's open space owners? Will PlaceWorks assignment include a quantification of the just compensation needs of the Highland Act? Stated differently, will this council, after 8 years, finally fess up to the truth that there is a roughly $6 billion landowner just compensation need? And finally, will PlaceWorks assignment include an analysis of the fiscal impact on landowners' equity of a TDR priced at a 75% discount to fair market appraised value of property losses? Stated differently, is offering 25 cents on the dollar anything more than another financial risk?
Thank you. Anybody else in the public should be here?
Jerry Kern, who I contacted. I would hope you would delay this till next month. I don't see the importance of 30 days if there's as much question here that's going on. Public knew nothing about, I like Mr. Dressler's comment in reference that we should have known who this is so we can do our own research and have a possibility to comment, knowing what we're talking about, who we're talking about. The fact that Mr. Walton raises questions on this needs to be considered. We're talking about 30 days. It's a lot of money. I don't see why we can't wait 30 days to find out the answers and make sure that we're making the right steps here. We're not looking for 6 months. He brought up a lot of good points, and if there's any concerns, my first concern would be California. You can't tell me that there isn't firms much closer to this region, that are familiar with it, that are capable, credible to do this job. I find that hard to believe. I would like to know if the cost had any rating at the end. Does the cost have a point? Is that part of the evaluation, the cost of the proposal?
It doesn't have technical points. It has an overall evaluation.
Okay. There's a lot of things that were, you know, should be looked at more, and I would also hope, and I was actually surprised to hear, that council committees really aren't in tune with what these people here are doing. They're just getting a recommendation, but they weren't really part of it. I certainly hope that would change. Or why is the council here? If you're not really watching what's going on, do we just hand everything off? There should be a little more oversight, for sure, by these committees. I don't think 30 days is a lot to ask for this amount of money, and this is an important part of this whole process.
Anybody else have thoughts to be heard on this?
Yes, sir.
One minute, David Shope, I'm the foreman of Lebanon Township. And as in my own particular case, the only activity I have is farming, and my circumstances are rather typical. And when you have land that is, except for about 1 acre, which is type B soil, the rest is C, D, and E, which is ranking of its productive capability, that in itself makes farming essentially the production capability of the soil is where it begins. And for those who don't have it, we have really no option. And the economics have already been done. It's done every 5 years by the Department of USDA. They are known. And I don't know what this RFP is going to conclude for farming, which is the only economic activity, except for those that already exist prior to the Highlands Act, it's just not going to work. You could save them a whole bunch of time and effort by just submitting the U.S. Department of Agriculture statistics to it, because that's it. 110 County, $40 an acre. Sussex County, $20 an acre. Orange County, a little more, thanks to greenhouses, which are, there's another name for greenhouses, it's called impervious coverage. And I wonder why this RFP came out just right about the time of the Christmas holidays. Was this to just give them an extra special thing to do while they're doing their Christmas shopping, or what? This is nothing more than a continuation of a pattern of issuing RFPs with the appropriate guidance in the language so that the conclusion is foregone. For the conclusion is written in the RFP. I hope you table this and at least look at it for another month. And remember that it's how you write the RFPs that determines the act. The answer. It's a foregone conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. What I'd like to do is ask for a motion to carry this for 30 days to the next meeting. We'll still have the executive session afterwards, but I think I've heard enough to
make that motion. There's another motion on the floor.
Do we need a motion to table?
Point of order. Just through the chair, point of order. When there's a motion on the floor and it's been seconded, and then there's a motion to table, which I guess takes precedence, what's the required vote on the motion to table?
What we should do is we should vote on the motion to table.
Or the movers may draw their motion.
Well, yeah, they may. Council members,
since we've gone through our public portion and everything like that, to have it carried down in 30 days or have it removed in 30 days, so we don't have to do the whole process again. So we have a motion to table for 30 days. Can I get a second?
You got a second.
We have a second.
And what's the required vote on that?
Simple majority.
Is it a simple majority or is it a...
Simple majority and no debate. On table of motion, no debate, simple majority.
Can I get a roll call?
Is there a discussion?
No, it's not a debate.
Not on a motion to table.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Drexler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
No.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Richfield?
No.
Councilmember Sabatich?
No.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. Thank you. So we'll have an executive this evening to discuss it, but just so the public knows, we won't take action on this tonight because it has been carried for 30 days. So even if we come back out of executive, we will not take action on this item. Then we'll head back to Mr. Holtaway for consideration of resolution approval of contract to develop a Highlands Regional Master Plan and Monitoring Program Recommendation Report. Mr. Holtaway.
I'm almost afraid to start, however. this is a collection of the indicators and identifying the milestones based on public comments, coordination, technical committees, and everybody else that will have input. And plus the fiscal impact assessment from the previous one that we talked about. Trying to identify the trends that occurred from 2004 to 2014 and try to anticipate what's going forward for 2014 to 2024. This RFP was released on the 17th of January. It closed on March 7th. We received two proposals. The teams were selected to participate in interviews. They were held on March 31st and April 4th. They were given standard questions just like last time. We heard the whole procedure and went through the same thing. After the interviews, they again met, discussed the proposals, and they recommend the Regional Plan Association for the award of this contract. The process and the qualifications for this were again presented to the Budget and Planning, and the committee agreed to forward the staff's recommendations to move forward with a Regional Plan Association for this. So the amount to be set aside for the contract is $150,000, close to $150,000. And the resolution, once again, authorizes a contingency amount of $15,000 to be allocated at the discretion of the Executive Director for a total of $165,000.
Can I hear a motion, please?
Move a motion.
Can I get a second?
I'll second Mr. Chairman.
He's our hero. At this point in time, we'll open it up to the public for comment on this resolution only. Yes, ma'am.
Julia Salmon, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I know who the Regional Planning Association are, and they can do this job. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this item? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post, property ownership of township. Wikipedia tells us that the Regional Planning Association is an organization that represents the philosophy of planning described by historian Robert Fishman as metropolitanism associated with the Chicago School of Sociology. Metropolitanism promotes large-scale industrial centers and the concentration of population rather than decentralized development. The Highlands is an area of decentralized development, and we like it that way. Metropolitanism School of thinking, wants to empty the open spaces such as the Highlands and send people back to dense urban living. RPA's website euphemistically calls this large landscape conservation. I object to the retention of a consulting group whose philosophy and history does not recognize decentralized development and the community structures of rural living as a laudable planning goal. One of the articles on RPA's website criticizes the upscale suburbs of southern Connecticut for failing to maximize their access to quality transport into New York City. RPA apparently doesn't understand that the people of Greenwich don't want their community turned into a sea of high-rise apartments. Similarly, I'm skeptical that RPA will grasp that the people of the Highlands like their rural communities and local communities don't want to be told to move out back to the dense burbs so that the wood turtle has some more space. If RPA's job is to opine on the success of the Highlands Act goals, which is the way I read your resolution, you don't need to pay them a six-figure number to conclude that people are indeed leaving because jobs are languishing, new homes can't be built, and taxes are skyrocketing. These facts would lead an RPA consultant to conclude that the Highlands Regional Master Plan has been a phenomenal success, given their Chicago school of thinking. Wikipedia continues that a critique of metropolitanism is that it results in windfall real estate profits for downtown interests. We've seen a mini version of this as this council has handed windfall gains to owners of town center designated properties without making town centers TDR receiving boards, which some of those windfall gains would harm landowners. RPA published articles discussing stakeholders in the planning process never once mentioned property owners as a legitimate stakeholder. They will get along well with this council staff, who also does not recognize property owners as stakeholders. Despite bragging regularly about their meetings with the myriad green groups, this council staff has never once in 8 years met with the harmed landowner.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this item? Yes, sir.
Pat Moffitt, TPAC. We're back again to a broad scope of service developed without public input or seemingly council input for a critical development. Any development pushed into adjacent areas of Pennsylvania, New York, or non-Highlands New Jersey enters our water supply by gravity, pumps, or canal. The RMP inappropriately omitted the impacts of transferred development on our water supply. And now this RFP will continue the omission of this material fact. As we briefly sat on the banks to celebrate the protection of the Wanakee Reservoir, natural tributaries from development, key facts were hidden from the public. DEP studies show these tributaries were already protected, and 90% of the pollution entering the reservoir was pumped in. Not from the preservation area, as the public was led to believe, but from the very area the Act sought the transfer through. McGreevy, if you recall, resigned 2 days later under the cloud of four separate federal corruption investigations. Also remember, the need for the Highlands Act was based on a North Jersey study on ending water crisis, a study we now know doesn't exist. This RFP requires no evaluation of non-Highlands depleted water use on the Highlands water supply, an issue critical to the Council's legislatively mandated mission. The state's water supply plan identifies the single greatest risk to available water supply is the depleted use of those cities that suck water out of the Highlands reservoirs, robbing downstream uses of flow, and then use the water but once before discharging it through wastewater outfall from salt water. Patterson is one of those depleted water use cities that somehow in the name of environmental protection and smart growth, this council now seeks to transfer growth. That's the Patterson with the sewers that overflow raw sewage into our rivers when it rains, and the Patterson where each new resident uses the equivalent of 10 times more water than a new Highlands resident on a well and septic. I can only guess. guess the council took this action because it was unaware of the consequences. And it was unaware because the RMP makes no mention of it or any other transfer development act. A troubling oversight that this RFP continues to cover up by requiring none of the standard water accounting practices used as metrics when evaluating planning and regulatory impact to a water supply. In fact, these practices are required by New Jersey law, but only if NJDEP does or makes a claim of a threat to a water supply. It was for this reason that McGreevy created a task force made up of 19 people with collectively zero water experience that relied on a North Jersey study we know there doesn't exist to make the Highlands claims. The Highlands fraud would not have been possible unless DEP was shielded from the obligation to do the engineering analysis. It is fundamentally deceptive to focus on the impacts to a water supply from only Highlands users. It was dishonest when the act was passed, it was dishonest when the RMP was completed, and it is dishonest now with this RFP. From a water supply perspective, it's professionally repugnant. It's also outrageous the council staff thinks a proper and impartial auditor of the RMP is the RPA, the organizer, the organization that can be called the creator of the Highlands Act. And this is what you want us to feel good about.
Thank you for your comments.
Start over, look at the scope of services, do this openly, and I'm with you.
Anybody else in the public to be heard on this issue?
My name is David Shope, and the RPA. Matter of fact, early on, they used to attend the meetings here. I think his first name is Tom Felicio, and he and I had chats early on. And I'm going to refer to a March 15, 2012 article from the RPA's website entitled, A Job Well Done in New Jersey Highlands. As Eileen Swan moves on from her post as Executive Director of the New Jersey Highlands Council, Regional Plan Associates, and New Jersey Future, would like to recognize her public service to the state. And it blabbers on for a while. And I'm going to submit this as part of the public record. The last two paragraphs say, under her watch, the New Jersey Highlands Council has become a national model for balanced natural resource protection. Other state entities would be wise to look for this. They seek to implement the new state strategic plan. We look forward to working with the Highlands Council and its staff to advance the tremendous progress made under Ms. Swan's leadership. New Jersey residents deserve no less. For now, we collectively raise our glass of clean New Jersey drinking water and toast Ms. Swan on a job well done. And this is the firm that you intend to hire. Rather an unbiased opinion from time to time on your work here. My recollection is you fired Eileen Swan. And they laud her. This is just so crazy. It's like Alice in Wonderland. The Regional Plan Association is nothing more than a granite next to the tree. And this is how they see the world. And they have such a predetermined bias. Their selection by your subcommittee to do this work is just insane. I'm against it. Find somebody else. Again, I will make the same comment. When you write the request for proposal, you're really writing by inference, none too subtle, you're writing the conclusions that you want to have made. These people are nothing more than well-paid rubber stamps. Don't hire them. Tell them to go home.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue?
During current PyCon, I would hope that better way to get the same results than you think. I think you need to be looking at someone fresh. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. I will now open it up to council members. Anybody of the council wish to be heard on this issue?
Just a general comment is that we can't go out and put guns to people's heads and tell them to come and do this work. We send out an RFP that is formed and published, and these firms all look at it, and selected ones come and they give us an offer. Like I said, yes, the RFP was the successful bidder. We have to, by law, limit on what we can do relative to these selections. But it's indeed a dilemma. I mean, I had a problem with the mayor, but that's how the system works.
Any other comments from council members? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
No.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Altaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sedesich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tefang?
No.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
No.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Brings us to the next item, which is the RMT Update Committee. Mr. Olsted will report out. Chairman Riley appointed Michael Sedesich, Rick Bowden, and myself to serve on this committee. It's a form required to fulfill the mandate that is in the law of reviewing the regional master plan every 6 years. That is the task of the committee, to work with our staff to bring about the research and the metrics and the parameters and the milestones, formulate them in a way that everybody can evaluate objectively, and then bring these items to the full council for evaluation and then incorporation into the revised master plan. I will tell you that Mike Rich and myself, as the council members on the committee, are fully dedicated to this task. We've made commitments to each other to meet here in person on a monthly basis for our workshop meetings. That will be in addition to all of the public hearings, the sessions with our working groups, the interest groups. So it will be quite a job, and we are dedicated to doing that. To that end, we've met twice already, both on March 19th and on April 9th. We've reviewed with the staff the legal requirements we have to complete this review. We've also reviewed with the staff the methodology that we're going to take to create this assessment and conduct this review. It will include a monitoring program, some of which we've obviously been discussing already through these RFPs and contracts that we are awarding. We're going to be doing setting up regional indicators and milestones that will be measured, fiscal impact assessment, which is something I believe was sorely lacking in the first regional master plan, and then the creation of the RFP monitoring report. A lot of the job is going to be taking in information. To that end, you've already heard a report in our previous meeting about the web comment portal, so that this will be set up to bring in the initial public comments through the website of the IOS Council. And again, this contract was approved already back in January. The fiscal impact analysis, we've discussed already. These proposals were reviewed by the Budget and Finance Committee, as you know, and we've tabled the award of that contract. We've just continued with our work with the monitoring program recommendation, and again, to fulfill the obligation we have to bring in and evaluate as much information as possible objectively, we will be scheduling and conducting a multitude of public hearings, stakeholder meetings, technical advisory committee meetings, and outreach sessions. This will be a very public and transparent.
Finally, we discussed the methodology that we want to use from a practical standpoint to bring information to the council. We will be keeping voluminous notes about everything that is deliberated on the committee level. There will be a memorandum to all council members that you've received already in your packets today. You'll see a packet, you'll see it. A memorandum to all council members, and then we will also be making a verbal report. And there will be no policy decisions made at the committee level. All policy decisions regarding the adoption of intricate details for the master plan will be made here at the full council. We will only provide recommendations. Our job is to glean the information, work with staff, come up with a recommendation. We'll present to the full council the recommendation, and then you can take it from there, or we will. And I believe that's a pretty good review of where we are. We meet again in May.
Any comments on the report?
Mr. Chairman, I had a question and a couple of comments.
Sure. Ms. Carolyn,
well, first of all, I am concerned about the monitoring program recommendation report and the fiscal impact assessment report going to this committee, which is made up of a less than a quorum and a small handful of people from the larger council. And I'm concerned because I see us as a council getting removed further and further away from the work of the RFP update. And now these contracts that have just been awarded are also going to be reporting and interfacing with this committee rather than the full council. And, you know, I did carefully go through the RFPs and saw there's several instances where they talk about interfacing with the public or the various committees that the council is possibly not mentioned. Only in a couple places is the council mentioned. And I was wondering, well, does that mean that this is these contractors are going to be reporting directly to this committee, which I, is a council committee, and I have concerns about, as you know, since it's also close to the public. So I want to continue to object to this committee being a closed-door committee. The public should be able to sit in on this and listen to what's going on. Our council members should be involved in this. I really think the better process is to have work sessions of the full council to deal with what this committee is doing. And I'm really concerned now, additionally, because of these two key contracts that have just been awarded, and having them, according to what Ms. Dalton has reported, interfacing with this committee and not with the council in periodic reports. So So that's my statement. My question is, when will this contract is going to work? When will this work, particularly the monitoring program, recommendation of working interfacing with the council and the public, and not just, I understand there's a lot of public meetings built into this, and that's a great thing, but when will there be reports directly to the public that are not filtered through this committee and then a 5-minute report to the council? And my second question is, are these memorandums that we received, are they on the website and are they public? They weren't more confidential, and I'm just wondering,
actually
have them
on the table for the public, Ms.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that answer to the second question. What about the contracts that have just been awarded and the periodic interfacing that will be going on between the committee and these contractors? How will that come? Is that all going to be filtered through the committee? I object to that. I'd like to know how the council is going to be involved in getting updates on what's going on with these contracts, and how can we break through this barrier that has been set up by having this close to a committee instead of the council doing this work?
I'm not sure anybody stated there's something being withheld from the council. I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, Ms. Olson said that they would be dealing with the monitoring program recommendation report and the fiscal impact assessment report that these contracts would be awarded on today, and that the committee would be dealing with that. But I would think those reports should be coming directly to the council, wondering this important work through that committee.
Yeah,
Perhaps I can, Mr. Chairman, the RMP update committee that is chaired by Vice Chairman Alstead was briefed on the recommended award for the two contracts that were brought up here as well, because that committee met prior to the Budget Finance Committee. So that's all that it was, is that the recommendations were presented to that committee and favorably received by that committee, and then they went to the Budget Finance Committee for consideration as well. That's the context in which that was mentioned. Perhaps that's the committee that put that up.
So who will these contractors? You're saying first of all, I didn't understand that, and I think that is also a problem. The council didn't know and the public didn't know who the chosen ones were until it was filtered through appropriately, a process that has been set up through the Budget and Finance. And now another committee knew about this before the council did. I think that's very troubling. But also, are you saying then that Mr. Alston is not saying that there's going to be interface with the PD contractors and the RMP committee?
The scope of
directly or through data?
On the contract that you just awarded tonight, or voted on the resolution, you guys are going to have plenty of interaction with those contractors, because one of their responsibilities is to set up the public meetings and collate the information that we get from that. They're not chairing the public meetings. I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but we really feel and hope and wish that you all will take an active role in those public meetings and use these guys as a resource rather than a controlling variable. I mean, this is really... this is your project. Everybody that we bring on board is here to help you make good policy decisions in the context of the regional master plan. So it's not like they're going to be working in isolation. They have to be working with you.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I might. I believe, Margaret, you're 100% right on. And Kurt, the process that you described and that protocol that you described is exactly right. It goes on in a corporate world. It works. It works here, and as long as that communication is back and forth and is transparent, I don't see the argument at all. At all.
Thank you, Mr. Fizzioli.
You're welcome.
Any other comments?
I don't see how closed door meetings are transparent. We have secret meetings now that meet and decide on things.
Is there any government entity that doesn't use a committee system? To bring things to the entire council?
No.
I mean, I think the best meeting we've had in the several years that I've been here on the council was the checklist subcommittee. I think it worked very well. The committee members got along well, worked hard on it, and we came up with good decisions. I don't see anything different with this committee. It'll bring everything to the council as a whole, and then we make the decision. We open the decision.
I think the process that works very well, and I do object to the characterization of the committees by Ms. Garlicchio. Any other comments by council?
Yeah, I'm on that committee, on like 17th Street.
Great, to 17th.
And I think, and I appreciate your concern. But this committee is going to be working closely with the council and the staff and the public, and there will be no secrets. Things will be transparent, and the information will flow very smoothly. So I don't think it's a big concern here.
Thank you, Mr. Stevenson. Okay, well, thanks for the report, Mr. Alstead. Moving along, that takes us to the consideration of resolution, authority for plan conformance and Highlands project review. This is a voting matter. Can I get a motion on this, please?
I'll also make the motion.
Mr. Alstead, motion. Can I get a second?
Second.
Second. I'll now open this up to the public. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Please raise your hand.
Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any council members have any issue with this resolution? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ferruccio?
I don't know, and I just want to say I'm voting no because I believe that especially number 3, 4, and 5 under the executive directors for keeping up with the council. The council is being removed further and further away from the decision.
Thank you, Ms. Ferruccio. Continue roll call, please.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richfield?
Yes.
Councilmember Sedgwick?
Yes.
Councilmember Kiefer?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes.
That takes us on to our next resolution, consideration of resolution, the election of vice chair of the Highlands Council.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Kurt Olstead for another year as vice chair.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second, ma'am.
We have a motion and a second. Any other nominations? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Ferruccio? Councilmember Ferruccio?
No.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richka?
Yes.
Councilmember Sedgwick?
Yes.
Councilmember Kiefer?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Gladly.
Chairman Ryan?
Thank you, Kurt.
Well, now that was a no, you won by an overwhelming one.
That takes us to our next consideration of resolution, the election of treasurer of the Highlands Council.
I'd like to nominate Treasurer Buckley to continue.
Thank you, sir.
We have a motion and a second. Any other nominations? Seeing no other nominations, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Ferruccio?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. Who was nominated?
Mr. Holtaway.
Thank you, yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richfield?
Yes.
Councilmember Sedgwick?
Yes.
Councilmember Kiefer?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
At least you don't have to train anybody to get up to speed. Okay, that takes us to our next item on the agenda, which is public comments. A reminder to the public to keep this to no more than 3 minutes. Because there seems to be some members from that want to discuss Fenimore, I would ask that you refrain from raising your hands initially, because I will have to step down on those issues.
Did you claim more than 3 minutes last meeting?
No, I didn't.
Within the minutes, 4 minutes, we have changed it.
No, I thought somebody requested it to be 4 minutes.
No, it was paid by it.
Yeah, Mr. President, it's been delayed. Let's take a look. Right?
A great number of meetings.
Okay, 4 minutes. We'll make it 4 minutes for this evening, and then we'll discuss it later.
I said a present here.
I said for this meeting. But before we get into the public section, generally, let's take 5 minutes. A couple members need to take care of them.
Thank you, Chair. Bring the meeting back to order, please. We're moving into public comments. Again, anybody that wishes to discuss the Fenimore issue, I would kindly ask you to wait till other members are, not to relinquish you to the end, but I do have to step down, so it's easier to deal with all of them at one time. And sporadically. So at this point in time, we'll open the public session. Would anybody like to speak on any issue? Please raise your hand.
My name is Jody Anderson. We own 74 acres in Hunterdon County with a very old house on it. The majority of the land is forest. We have worked under a woodland management plan for many years and are a certified tree farm. This property has been cared for by our family for about 75 years. When developers approached us over the years, we turned them down. If we had given in to the lure of that windfall, the open land would not be available anymore. Now, we have the care and expense of 74 acres, and we cannot even sell one building on it to get funds for repairs and upkeep. In addition, the value of these 75 acres as a whole has plummeted. The entire property is in the preservation area. As I'm sure is obvious, we are well over retirement age. We began attending these Highlands Council meetings in the beginning and continued doing so for about 5 years. Then health issues and situations changed, and we were not able to get here. And to be honest, we were deeply discouraged by the lack of any follow-through on the commitment to get just compensation for the loss we and all the others have sustained by the very onerous restrictions that have been placed on property in the preservation area. Now we are back. We watched as the council went through alterations, and we hope there will be positive action taken soon for landowners. We've already been waiting almost 10 years. Thank you.
In the public wish to be heard? She's deferring to you, please.
I signed her paycheck. my question actually is a question of process, and maybe this is going to be resolved. And this is also given what Mr. Olstead was saying about keeping everything transparent and help having the public and the council know what happened at meetings. This memorandum, which is the minutes that were prepared from the April 9th meeting of the RMP Update Committee, was written on the 14th, which means it can't have been posted before then. Today is the 17th. My request is, could you please have your meetings further in ahead of your council meetings so that the public has more than just a very short time to review the minutes that somebody has to write very quickly. Because honestly, it's not fair, and you're getting people complaining like me because we haven't had enough time to review the minutes. And this is just the beginning of this new process, so if you could please time things to give yourself enough time so that the public knows what is going on and can evaluate it and comment appropriately.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public room here? In the back? Sir, in the back.
Good afternoon. My name is Andy Drysdale. I live in Chester Township, 32 East Park Chase Road. What I want to talk to you about today concerns what's going on in this country and what's been done here in New Jersey. And it concerns terrorism. If you have seen the news of the last few days about the rancher in Nevada who was described as the last man standing, that's in quotes, you have seen terrorism performed by our federal government. Many of those who came to support him had already lost their ranges. I do not know the details of their losses, but apparently the false claim was made by a government agency, either the BLM or the EPA, that the ranching operations would endanger the desert tortoise. In a valley in California, the water supply was reduced so that farmers could not irrigate their land because of a small bait fish, which was not even native to the area. In Florida, a man who owned 15 acres, much of which was declared to be wetlands, a trial court awarded the man $327,500 to have Florida's highest court throw out the ruling. After a battle that lasted 18 years, the man was victorious in 2013 at the U.S. Supreme Court. The case is Kuntz versus St. John's River Management District, U.S. Supreme Court number 1447. In New Jersey, it has been 10 years since the government of the state of New Jersey passed the Highlands Act, limiting development on over 800,000 acres. Many people had their properties substantially devalued. We were told that we would be compensated at near January 2004 property values. This has not happened. How is it that the state can spend taxpayer money promoting this Highlands program and not justly compensate the landowners for their losses? I believe that most of you are good, honest, well-meaning people, but suppose some of the claims made by the environmental extremists are not true. Are you not participating in a form of terrorism? Perhaps it should be called environmental terrorism. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the room. It's nice and quiet. Everybody can hear the air. Thank you. I don't know who did it, but
actually,
fantastic job.
Chester Township came over and fixed it for
well,
us.
Well, great, great. I really appreciate that. Because sitting here, if you're on this side, but we can't hear you. You know what I mean? You think you hear you, but you don't. So, my thing today is, I believe you all have this regional master plan, right? And I know you read it from cover to cover. Okay, very good. My name is Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. I was looking at the copy of the Highlands and Regional Master Plans. It has 464 pages in it. Guess anyone can write a fiction book. This is a fairy tale. For example, the plan consultant, Charles Simons, who was paid $245,000 to help write this, does not even have a New Jersey state license. I could not use someone without the proper New Jersey license if I were to present an issue to you concerning my property. I can't find the chapter in this book that compensates for landowners. Anybody find it? I didn't. It's not there. I've also been asking for 10 years now to see a scientific study that put my property in the Highlands Preservation Area. There is nothing you can show me because it does not exist. But you all sit here pretending that it does, or you would be doing something about it. What don't you understand about the facts that no scientific study was ever done on my property? politicians just decided, and it became law. How do you expect me to accept that? You robbed me. However, I see on your agenda paper that your questions raised in this period may now be responded to at, not at this time, but where feasible, will be followed up by the council and its staff. Your non-response has told me that you have avoided answering me and my question is not feasible. Why can't you all be honest with me and confess that you can't show me something that doesn't exist? Now, when I was sitting here, I had some other PS questions. I hope I haven't tab minute there. I know you're watching me like a hawk, but that's okay. And thanks for the 4 minutes. We did agree on that, Mr. Chairman. I see on the agenda today there's no intention of addressing the compensation for the landowners in the Highlands. Now, I remember, got to be 6 months ago now, we were supposed to have a committee, you people's up there, and you know, I think the judge was on it. I don't know, Richie was on it. Maybe Kurt, I don't know. But we were going to have a meeting, or you people were going to have a meeting to find some just compensation for the people that's here. And I see nothing in the paper here reference to it in on this thing here. And also the question I brought up, too, and I'd like to know what your opinion was, is on the dual appraisal, because that's running out. What was your opinion? Nothing's come back. You in favor of it or whatever? I know you don't have to answer me.
I don't have to, but I will. I support the dual appraisal.
Okay. Did we send a letter to the legislation or whoever it is?
I sent one personally myself to my assembly person to check into it because to see where it stands.
Right. How about as the council?
We have taken no action collectively.
I think we should. I really do. You know, on the budget stuff here, you know, it's hard for me because I'm not on a computer. I'm a layman when it comes to that. And it seems two things. You receive this stuff here, and I will give my girlfriend over here a shot in the arm. Is you're asking us to give an opinion on this thing, and we got it today. I did anyway. So I think if you're going to do something like that, you got to print this stuff a month ahead of time, put it out there, let the people decide, or at least get a viewing of it for myself, you know, as to what it is. And but I got one more second here. I got a feeling that like I'm a second-rated citizen because public comments are not out there. Public comments are to be posted publicly. Now, there's nothing out there on the public, nothing at all. In your opinion on the bill, Senate 355, what have we done on it? It's in the hopper. How are we pushing for it? And that's really to help the people in the Highlands. We need your support on this. And the last, you know, my comments, I've never received anything back for any of the questions I've asked. And if you're supposed to be so transparent, I should be getting a letter in the mail. So I don't know how we're going to do it, Mr. Chairman, but I think, I know you can do it. It's just a matter of time. There's another thing that bothers me is... Well, wait a minute. Hold on one second.
Come on,
all right. Listen, last time I was 2 minutes. Okay. I'm talking for three people.
The thing
that... Is that me, myself, and I?
Yes. Because I'm only allowed 4 minutes every once a month, you know? I don't even get that much in my own house. But here's the thing. You like it. All right. But the thing... thing is, like, for an example, on the public comment thing, the question that Pat Muffin had brought up, what has been addressed about these questions that he has asked you people? That should be part of the public comment out there on that desk. I see nothing there whatsoever to tell me what your opinion is or what the Highlands is going to do about it, and investigate. If it's wrong, then fix it. But so far what I found out, and it's on my own, is there's some untold truths that have pushed this act through, and it's not, here you go, I'm done. Thank you very much, I appreciate that.
I just want to clarify. I believe we long ago went on record as a council supporting dual appraisal. It's so long ago that you don't remember it.
It's never showed up.
Well, again, I think if you refer back and look at minutes, I can assure you that this council has taken action to support dual appraisal, and it's very consistent with our mission of ensuring just compensation.
I believe you, Kirk, but could you show it to me in writing?
I'm sure if you get together with Annette, we dig out the minutes.
Seconded. No, I'm sorry, gentlemen, backwards.
I'm Robert Fry from Pohatcom Township. I'm an 82-year-old farmer who was physically impacted by the Highlands Act. Frankly, I should be home working, but I'm here. I know firsthand the economic impact of the Highlands Act. That said, I understand that we're not allowed to ask questions, which does put the public at a disadvantage. But I'd like to know what the status is of the litigation by the New Jersey Farm Bureau in regards to the 25 and 88-acre zoning in the preservation area that was not based on scientific facts.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to hear? Yeah, I'm sorry. Darren.
Jerry Kern, Pohatcom. Is there any chance that someone could make a motion to support a letter to the legislators in this dual appraisal? Is that something that can be done and a letter wrote and sent to them just to show that this council really does? Is that a tough thing to do?
My memory is along Kurt's line that we did this quite some time ago, and I think we ought to check back and go through the minutes and see if we haven't done it already. And then
but my concern is,
is the bill 355, is that?
No, that's not for dual appraisal. 355 is to stop the act. Stop
it. Suspend.
I'd like to make a motion that we pass a resolution in support of the dual appraisal method and the funding to be put in place to make it work.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I'd like to see a copy of that bill. There isn't a bill.
Well, actually, there is a bill on the floor now that includes ag property only, not all property.
Is there?
Yes.
I know some of the freeholder boards, the Farm Bureau has a resolution, a sample resolution. There are sample resolutions around. In fact, I will provide some for the staff that they can use.
Why don't we move to direct the administration to provide us with that information and a resolution, and we can vote on it next time.
I think it was a resolution. Resolution was to pass a resolution.
The resolution to pass a resolution.
Right.
Yes. I don't know what to pass a resolution.
Please. We have a motion and a second on the floor to support the dual appraisal.
I just have a concern that this was not on the agenda, so that we should probably put it on the agenda for next month. It's your discretion as chairman, but to raise things and vote on them that weren't on the agenda, I wouldn't recommend doing that.
I've heard a lot this evening that 30 days doesn't make a difference, so I agree with our council.
It doesn't matter. Please.
Put it on for the next meeting, but you know something? It doesn't matter.
It's been 10 years. What's 30 days?
No. You had a great point, Jerry, but let's see if we have something on record already, have something ready for the next meeting, and I would encourage anybody that has interest to personally reach out, as I have.
Yeah, I'll send my motion.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, and that, if I understand that correctly, then this council will be sending the legislators a letter in support. Is that what that is?
What it is if we've already taken action on one, as Mr. Alstead has suggested, we'll send that over. If not, we'll have a fresh one on for the next meeting and on the agenda. But I also encouraged everybody to individually.
Depending how early ago that was, it may have been for the earlier extension. Sure. I'm concerned more with this extension.
Jerry, June 14th.
Right. That's so I don't know, it may have been prior that has been extended once before, I believe.
Yes.
So that would be my concern, that it would be for this one now. My other comment would be to the council to please follow up on Pat's comments. If in fact the facts are all there, it should be easy to give to him, and I imagine he would maybe go away, everyone, if that's what you would think. But I think you may have a hard time finding the stuff that you'd be looking for. And my other last comment would be, it's in reference to the woman that spoke earlier with the 74 acres. If everyone in this room didn't have a knot in your stomach, there's something very wrong with you, all of you. What that woman has gone through, along with many other Highlands people, is devastating. Most of you will never understand or know, because you're on the other side thinking it's all okay and it's great for everyone else. You can only hope that this never happens to you. But if you didn't have that knot and still don't have that knot, you better be looking in the mirror, because something's wrong. Really wrong. Thank you.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. I've looked at the master plan that Hank presented earlier, and one of the things I was looking for was signatures taking responsibility for the work done, the work that was done that requires compliance by us. When we come before you or any other board, for an application, we have to attest to its truthfulness. Our professionals have to attest to its truthfulness. You attest to nothing. You attest to nothing. Here's the forestry report dated March 23rd, 2006. This is the one you buried. They signed off on it. Early on, there's a sign-off sheet. The people who did this report, all professional foresters, took responsibility for their work personally by checking off by their name on this document that they sent it to you, and you buried it. And the responsibility for the inaccuracies, when I say inaccuracies, I really mean in many cases, outright lies, which you use to require us to do extreme things that no one else in the state has to do, and you've not taken any responsibility anywhere. Something's wrong with this picture. Early on, I think it was the last meeting, maybe the one before that, when Mr. Davis responded to Pat Moffitt's issues, which included misconduct, allegations of misconduct, he said he did an investigation and found there was no misconduct. Give me a copy of the investigation. Hand it over. Give me a copy of your investigation. We have here a legislative fiscal estimate, which was done June 14, 2004, which only considers the cost of the Highlands Act on governments. Nothing about the cost of the Highlands Act on the, quote, on the property owners, or we are otherwise known sometimes as stakeholders. We have no stake. It's a joke. So I will wait for Mr. Davis's report. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks.
Thank you.
Erica Van Alken, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just wanted to follow up the issues regarding the dual appraisal method. I don't recall whether or not the council passed a resolution in support of dual appraisal. I do recall that the council passed a resolution in support of finding a source of open space funding. Without open space funding, the dual appraisal program is pointless. As you guys probably know, the 2009 bond measure for open space funding has been allocated, and there's a push currently in the Senate and the Assembly to identify a long-term source of sustainable funding for the Green Acres program, farmland preservation, historic preservation, Blue Acres programs. And if that money is not identified in a timely manner, meaning before, I think, June at this point, the dual appraisal goes away as well. So those of you that are advocating for dual appraisal should also be advocating for open space funding. And this is one issue in which the environmentalists have happened to reach across the aisle with farmers, and I think this is something most of us agree on, and I just want to put that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else with public comment? Mr. Pappas?
The council has tried to deny responsibility for the current nitrate restrictions, alternately claiming they are the product of the legislature or some other agency. A July 11, 2008 memo from Lisa Jackson to Governor Corzine and CC to Eileen Swan, however, makes absolutely clear the council was the sole creator of the Highlands nitrate restrictions, targets, and model inputs. The council staff justified these restrictions as being necessary to achieve surface water quality goals, prevent harmful algae blooms, low oxygen levels, and a loss of biodiversity. NJDEP was at the same time, however, telling EPA and TMDL filings that nitrate restrictions were not required to meet surface water quality goals, and more importantly, any nitrate restrictions threatened to cause harmful algae blooms, create low oxygen levels, and foster a loss of biodiversity. So why did the state in 2008 simultaneously claim nitrate caused and prevented harmful algae blooms, caused and prevented low oxygen levels, caused and prevented the loss of diversity, and were not required to achieve surface water quality goals? Alarmist nitrate claims were needed to justify the Highlands nitrate restrictions. However, NJDEP could not make them without tripping the study requirements of Section 303D of the Clean Water Act. These required studies would have prevented the use of the nitrate dilution model this council claims is routinely used, forced DEP to use a Phaeton transport model this council says is never used, required calculating non-septic nitrate sources this council says cannot be calculated, and verify model performance with actual groundwater data, a fundamental scientific requirement that somehow this council staff conveniently forgot. Basically, the required studies would have prevented the fraudulent nitrate restriction designed to target a single land use for a regulation. So the council staff, the Shield DEP, was tapped to make the alarmist nitrate claims, while DEP made the contrary and correct claims to EPA that nitrate restrictions were not required. This is the same tactic as described earlier, where the task force was tapped to make the claims so DEP would not have to do the required investigation that would have exposed this fraud. NJDP, in what can only be described as hubris, then ignored its own nitrate findings and incorporated the council's fraudulent nitrate claims in its Highlands rules. The council staff and DEP in the process knowingly sacrificed public health. Low light nitrate levels, not high as claimed by this council, caused a dangerous shift in algal composition from the benign green algae to the toxic cyanobacteria, or blue-green algae, a fact confirmed by multiple DEP and North Jersey studies. These studies, however, were never cited in the council's technical reports, constituting a serious omission of material fact. Blue-green algae produce some of nature's most deadly poisons, the cyanotoxins, The scientific literature is replete with examples of blue-green cyanotoxins causing the death of wildlife, livestock, pets, and humans, as well as other deleterious effects that ripple through the ecosystems. So who on the council staff made the conscious decision to risk these consequences? I want to know. You cannot ignore this. And your excuses that these things happened a long time ago, they happened before Mr. Riley was chairman, the legislature did it, or those people don't work here anymore, are unacceptable, as the consequences to public health resonate to present time. Mr. Davis, incredibly, at the last meeting, launched a new tactic by denying any evidence had been submitted, only bold allegations in his words, despite the multiple submissions detailing the conduct, misconduct. Mr. Davis, in a follow-up email exchange, refused to address the provided evidence, explain how his investigation reached its no misconduct conclusion, and ended by saying he would answer no more questions from me on the subject. Really? I'm not sure the council fully appreciates the impression of abject contempt for the public and the safety of our water supply revealed by these excuses and refusals to investigate. The accumulated evidence of systemic misconduct is overwhelming, and trying to make believe it isn't there will not make it go away. The corruption will gain full public exposure now or when Governor Christie hits the expected campaign trail, when many will be all too happy to investigate the evidence. Council members and the governor would be well advised to be out in front with an informal investigation before this happens.
I'm just saying that was 5 minutes.
I'm sorry, anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
This is Cam.
Well, thank you, dear. I appreciate it. You remember you came up twice? Thank you.
My name is Deborah Post. I own a 68-acre farm in Chester Township. It's an operating apple farm. Before I begin my prepared comments, I too, like Jerry, would like to refer to Jody's comments and ask all of you to hear her loud and clear about the hard and expensive work it is to take care of open space. We, this side, the landowners that you have heard from here today, are the ones who spend their days and their time and their money taking good care of this land. We are the good stewards of the environment. The other side of the wall here is paid lobbyists. As Ms. Summers just explained to you, she writes the check. They are here as lobbyists.
Please, please.
We are here as property owners with a real stake in this matter who spend our days, our time, and our money taking care of this land. This travesty goes down as one of the worst cases of no good deed ever goes unpunished. Today I had intended to comment on comments submitted to the Highlands Council on October 17, 2013, by Mr. Stafford in connection with real estate prices. Mr. Stafford has submitted to you abstract of ratables data. These are tax assessment numbers. Mr. Stafford argues that the ratables have risen and that, quote, this demonstrates that the Highlands Act had no impact on the overall value in the Highlands, end quote. Tax assessment data, not to be tried, is largely home values plus some commercial values.
Please, Mr. Stafford, please.
Of course, home values have risen. It doesn't take a PhD to know that when supply is constrained and demand increases, prices rise. It's called the pricing curve. With home building no longer allowed in the Highlands, the supply of homes has been static. There is no more demand for houses than there are houses. Prices rise, obviously. The ratables are up. For all practical purposes, tax rateable data does not include the fair market value of open space lands. This is a critically important fact that everyone wants to totally miss. All open space land is farmland assessed, not fair market value assessed, and it is statistically insignificant in the aggregate rateable numbers. So what are we to make of Mr. Stafford's argument that because house prices are rising, the Highlands Act had no impact on property values in the Highlands? Is Stafford trying to just sweep under the rug the fact that farmland and other open space unbuilt land without houses on it has seen a $6 billion loss in value when the development rights were stripped? Does Stafford have so little respect for this council that he thinks he can trick you into confusing house values with land values? Or does Mr. Stafford himself truly not grasp that open space land depreciates by approximately 90% when the right to build is stripped away? Does Mr. Stafford not understand the difference between an existing built house and a development right to build on open land? Those are questions. What I do know is that Stafford's so-called real estate analysis is indicative and representative of all the analyses underlying the council's master plan and the Highlands Act itself. It's junk analysis, fallacious, irrational, and factually inaccurate. Mr. Moffitt has spoken extensively on the ludicrous junk science underlying the council's work, and I am confident that the Regional Planning Association will add to that pile of junk economic analyses in the coming year. I hope that at least a few of the council members have some intellectual integrity and will not allow junk analyses to continue to justify the ongoing harm done to Highlanders by the Act and this council's plan. Thank you.
I'm not going to go real deep into that, and I'd like to remind Ms. Post that I am not a public figure like you are. I'm a regular person, and the things that they say about you, you unfortunately have limited ways to respond. That doesn't apply to me.
Please direct your questions or comments to the council.
As a tax commissioner, I had to take the courses to be an assessor. I never went and got my license because owning an advertising agency and being a tax assessor are really two very different things. And I had no desire to get involved with tax assessment that way. All assessed values are based on market values. And that's the basis of the entire thing. It's true that raw land is valued as raw land, but that doesn't change before or after the act. That doesn't change because it's farmland. It's farmland. You don't assess based on possible potential. You don't tax people on, frankly, you couldn't afford to have agriculture in the state of New Jersey if you based it, the value of land on what it might be done if we built houses on it. And the fact is, you can check my facts if you want to. I did a good deal of work and a great deal of travel to put those numbers together. And that is what the state of New Jersey Department of Taxation puts together to indicate what the values are. And this argument that hundreds of thousands of people in the Highlands have lost billions of dollars in value for whatever is simply not correct. So thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Rick Sparling, Jefferson Township. I have a few questions and a few comments. Our land assets have been held hostage for 10 years. I live in Jefferson Township, and I'm hoping that the fact that they are going through the regional master plan finally means that the tax stabilization can occur, and we are unjustly zoned as 10 acres residential when clearly we cannot utilize any of our property for that zoning purpose. We had a Q Farm assessment in place from 2001 through 2008. It was removed in 2007, and I had to go to court and lost my key farm assessment. I don't understand how, with all of your rules, that can be acceptable, that if it was zoned Q Farm at the time of the acts in placement in 2004, it should be remained at that level. How can I be justified to pay 10 acres of residential property that I cannot use? What does the fifth and final round of HDC review mean? We have 5.75 acre credits. I'm not disputing the fact that that's what they've decided, but I'm not exactly sure how that means it's worth whatever the credit is worth at that point. So the restitution for our family is based on something that is not reality. And I think that the act should work towards the reduction of the taxes for all of these farmers. And I have a lot of great respect for all of these farmers here because I did it, and it's an enormous amount of work. It's only a 10-acre farm, and it's an enormous amount of work to make it work. We have had on multiple occasions, as to my last question, had the Morris County Road Department engineers out to our site and for a road alignment that was supposed to happen when I bought the property in 1983. And we have had illegal stormwater runoff to our property for that many years. And it's an ongoing problem. Nobody's addressing it. And I'm hoping the Highlands Act will take on some area of looking into the stormwater problems, that all that water is running right into the wetlands on our properties. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Okay. Is this just Fenimore or?
Yes.
Oh, any other issues besides Fenimore? Seeing none, we'll open it up to Fenimore questions now. I will be stepping down. Vice Chairman Alstead will take over the meeting at this point in time.
Chairman Riley. We'll continue with our public comments. And Dave, are you Fenimore also?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're number two. Young lady in the back. Just so you know that our quorum is to please state your name and your residence town for the record. And normally we're 3 minutes, but tonight we're giving a gracious four. So if you could just please honor that as much as you can.
Hold on a second, Mr. Acting Chair.
Yes.
This is now just going to be Fenimore. There will not be anything else. That's because he asked if there was any further discussion besides Fenimore, and people said no. So we're not going to reopen it.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Now your time will start.
My name is Myrna Hernandez, and I live in Rosbury. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Just as a background for those of you who aren't up to date, in 2011, the DEP designated about 100 acres in the town of Rosbury on Moon Mountain as a brownfield. The Highlands Council then approved an exemption, number 15, based on the DEP's recommendations. We believe this was erroneous as the facilities there the facilities eligible for such an exemption are only Israel facilities, of which this is not. The DEP then proceeded to botch the proposed landfill to solar energy plan by allowing a convicted felon to operate the landfill and failed to properly oversee the procedures, allowing C&D materials, which is construction and demolition debris materials that contain wallboard that have been known for years to cause environmental problems. The DEP allowed this felon to continue with its plan and did not have all the proper procedures in place. Despite the town and residents also asking the judge to stop this problem, the judge ignored it and allowed it to go on for months. Finally, because we have hydrogen sulfide in our environment. The Roxbury Township residents appealed to the state legislature and they wanted to attend what we thought was relief when the legislature passed the Special Landfill Closure Act last summer. The Landfill Closure Act allowed the DEP to take over the landfill from Richard Bernardi, who was the convicted felon who was operating the landfill. But what happened was the DEP commissioner, Bob Martin, released an emergency order that sought only to end the smell associated with hydrogen sulfide and not the actual toxic environment that was created in the landfill. This issue to us is not about the smell. It's about toxins in the air, not all of which have associated odors, such as hydrogen sulfide, which is much more dangerous than sulfur dioxide, which is much more dangerous than hydrogen sulfide. It is also a concern for the many residents who reside downhill from the mountain and rely on wells fed by streams that run beneath the illegal waste in the landfill. It's also a concern on a much wider scale since these streams are connected to Drake's Brook, which itself feeds into the southern branch of the Raritan River watershed, which we know is a water source for over 1.3 million New Jersey residents. For 2 years straight, these waters have tested at a score of 18 out of 30 and have been deemed moderately impaired. For waters that feed into a water source for residents, these scores should be more, should be at 28 out of 30. Now, while many parts of Section 81 of the Highlands Act are addressed to the department, that is the DEP, Section 81K specifically does not limit its application solely to the DEP, but states plainly and in pertinent part that notwithstanding any provision of this section, all remediation standards and remedial actions that involve real property located in the Highlands Preservation Area shall be consistent with the provision of the Highlands Act and any rules and regulations of the Regional Master Plan. In one of your own resolutions today, it was stated Sections 38 through 82 of the Highlands Act amends numerous statutes of state agencies, including the DEP, that was my addendum, to specifically require coordinated action to implement the Regional Master Plan and requires consultation between the Highlands Council and state agencies to ensure that the Regional Master Plan is considered prior to state agency action. And, he stated, whereas Sections 16 and 17 of the Highlands Act respectively authorize the Highlands Council to review capital or other proposed project to be undertaken by any state entity or local government unit and to review a final local government unit approval, rejection, or approval with conditions.
Should wrap up soon.
Yes, I am. The township continues to suffer. Even today, this very day, playing fields were consistently reading a 10 to 13 parts per billion of hydrogen sulfide. This is where children are playing baseball and having practices. This number is 8 to 9 times the acceptable EPA 1.4 parts per billion that is the reference concentration for chronic exposure to hydrogen sulfide for adults. We ask that you assert your legally granted powers and hold the DEP accountable under the Highlands Act. We also ask that the Council petition the state legislature to make an amendment to the Landfill Closure Act to clarify and effectuate oversight over the DEP. The DEP can and will continue to act aggressively and with impunity throughout the state at other landfills if this is the precedent the Council is setting today. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm a project director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'm here to speak about the Fenimore landfill and the actions this council has taken with regard to that property. You're going to hear a lot of very professional testimony from residents tonight. What I'm going to suggest to you is that the situation and the conditions on that landfill have changed dramatically since this council granted it redevelopment area status in its previous ruling. I would make a strong request to you to rescind that redevelopment area status until and if and when there's a no further action letter from the Department of Environmental Protection on that landfill. Right now, we have a terrible problem, a problem that, frankly, you want to roll up your windows when you drive down Route 8. I saw that landfill in 1979 when it was closed, and the Environmental Commission of Roxbury advised the town at that time that there were potentially serious environmental problems on that site. So whatever Richard Bernardi has done may not be the entire tale. I will tell you that there is water pollution, there is erosion, and those things are ongoing and have been ongoing since the landfill was operational in 1979. I think it would be a simple matter for this council to remove the redevelopment area status. However the cleanup proceeds, it should be allowed to proceed. At some point in the future, when that landfill is recognized as clean, you may redesignate it as a redevelopment area. And I think that would be the best thing for the council and the best thing for the situation, given your limited authority in this area. So I thank you for your time, and I hope you'll take my suggestion to heart, and that perhaps we can have some action on this by the next council meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody who hasn't spoken from the public?
Good evening. My name is Ken Collins, and I'm from Andover, New Jersey. And I'm here to talk to you about something that's extremely serious and having a disastrous effect on the community in the Highlands in a very large geographic area. And if you're not sure of the geographic area, NJDEP has published you a map, which is available on their website. You can go to njdep.com/Fenimore, and you can find this map that will show you the affected area. The current DEP proposed remediation for Fenimore is illegal. They are overstepping the scope of the DEP Bob Martin issued emergency order. The will of an appointed official will never supersede the letter of the Highlands Act law. They were brought in to only abate the toxic gas emissions, and they are infringing on the Highlands Council's rights and duty to have jurisdiction over the final capping process. You all should be intimately familiar with the letter of the law of the Highlands Act, which makes it so. The DEP granted a Highlands exemption that was incorrectly never challenged by the Highlands Council. Rather than scrutinize the application for the waiver, it was accepted, with many of the items being marked incomplete. Relying on this exemption for protection and decision-making is improper. The DEP has incorrectly stated that the closure of Fenimore Landfill qualifies for exemption number 15 under the Highlands Act. Thus, the landfill closure is not addressed by the Highlands Council consistency determination and final recommendation report. But the Fenimore Landfill does not qualify for exemption number 15. By the clear language of the Highlands Act, exemption number 15 of the Highlands Act applies only to facilities regulated by the Industrial Site Recovery Act, otherwise known as ISRA. Fenimore Landfill is not and never has been an ISRA facility, so the DEP's current landfill closure and remediation plan cannot be conducted pursuant to ISRA and is therefore not exempt under exemption number 15. This allows you, the Highlands Council, to declare that the current DEP plan is inconsistent with the Highlands Act and Regional Master Plan. Section 81K of the Highlands Act supports this by requiring all DEP remediation, including landfill closure, be consistent with the Highlands Act and Regional Master Plan, with the exception of real ISRA sites exempted under number 15. The law states all remediation standards and remedial actions that involve real property located in the Highlands Preservation Area shall be consistent with the provisions of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act, and any rules and regulations in the Highland Regional Master Plan adopted pursuant thereto. We were told in the DEP's public presentation that the closure plan is issued pursuant to the Solid Waste Management Act and other remedial laws cited in Section 81. The DEP's consultant presentation specifically noted the regulatory basis for the closure plan. There are federal 40 CFR 258.60 and state NJAC 7:26-2A regulations that govern landfill closure. The state landfill closure regulations are adopted by the DEP pursuant to the NJ Solid Waste Management Act. This means the DEP itself agrees on the Highlands Act as incontrovertible law. Under Section 81 of the Highlands Act, that DEP landfill closure plan must be reviewed by the Highlands Council for consistency with the Regional Master Plan. The Highlands Act exemption number 15 applied by the Highlands Council is clearly invalid. In contrast, the clear language of Section 81 was written to give the Highlands Council review powers over remediating landfill sites in the Highlands. Any site in the Highlands that uses more than 50,000 gallons of water per day needs a special permit under the Highlands Act. This is part of the water anti-degradation rules. We're told that the Fenimore landfill site will generate 60,000 gallons of wastewater a day. The emergency order does not give the DEP the right to ignore state law. The DEP's current plan cannot yet verifiably demonstrate that it complies with the surface and groundwater non-degradation policy of the Highlands Act, as well as DEP's own surface and groundwater quality standards. Roxbury's injunction against the DEP was unsuccessful because they were not adversarial and did not object to the digging of new extraction wells. Now that the wells are in place abating the gas, a new injunction to prevent final capping that is not consistent to the Regional Master Plan should be sought by the Highlands Council. The gas abatement is temporary under the emergency order, but the final cap will be forever.
You need to wrap up soon.
Okay? I'm almost done. To secure an injunction and ultimately have the SEP material trucked out so that Highlands and its waters are protected under the case law Crow versus DeGioia, the following 4 points are relevant for appealing in court. Stopping the geomembrane and capping of the C&D material in place is necessary to prevent irreparable harm concerning ensuring our health and property values while having the best long-term remediation solution for the environment, not just the easiest or cheapest. Our underlying claims that the Highlands Council and Highlands Act has jurisdiction via the Regional Master Plan over the final cap is supported by the letter of the law along with the newer legacy landfill regulations concerning municipal review. The need for an injunction and having the Highlands Council assume jurisdiction outweighs any monetary hardships the DEP would suffer, which most likely will be compared to our more serious suffering of health-related issues. Roxbury's public interest is fully implicated through these health issues and the degradation of our community. The above facts demonstrate the pathway to an injunction and are solid grounds to pursue such for the good of Roxbury and the entire Highlands Preservation Area. For the record, I am formally requesting that the Highlands Council assert jurisdiction, if necessary in court, over the DEP landfill closure plan pursuant to Section 81 authority cited above, and request they conduct a formal consistency review to the Regional Master Plan, which leads to the only proper remediation option of removing all of the offending material. And I'm going to submit copies for all of you of what I just read to you, and two copies of the Brownfield and Contaminated Site Remediation Act that I cited, in case you're not familiar with it, and also a copy of the map from DEP.
We need to wrap up. We're well beyond your
and time. Some photographs of the streams and water bodies running through Fenimore Land. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Somebody else would like to make comments? Eric, I will give you an opportunity to speak on the Fenimore issue since you weren't able to speak on that earlier. But I want to give everybody else a chance first since you kind of turned the mic. Anybody else on Fenimore? Yes, ma'am. Just again, please state your name and your residence for the record, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm Maureen Hensler. I live in Ledgewood, 1,200 feet from the landfill. And I don't have a lot of technical information to give you. I'm not prepared to do that today. I could. But if I have 4 minutes. First of all, I'd like to demonstrate to you the Fenimore landfill cough. I'm sure you've heard me coughing back there. When I moved here 3.5 years ago, I was a healthy woman. I'm not a healthy woman anymore. I've got a lot of very severe health effects from living 1,200 feet from this landfill. When I lived in Morristown, before Mr. Doherty was, Doherty was mayor, I walked all over Morristown. I campaigned for some of his buddies there, and I walked all over Morristown. Now I can barely make it up that hill to come in here. You should know that this landfill is severely toxic to the health of the residents, and especially the children. They're lower to the ground, H2S gets to them quicker, they bring more of it into their lungs, they also, when they're outside playing, more into their lungs. This was a terrible mistake that you made, and I hope that you can rectify it, because otherwise, you've basically undone the health of 23,000 people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I have time left over, I'll give it to you.
Anybody else like to make comments? Yes, ma'am, please.
Hi, Brenda Isherwood, Sacasota, New Jersey. I live in Roxbury Township. I did not prepare a speech. I'm speaking from being a lifetime resident 2 miles as the crow flies from Fenimore Landfill, which should now be called the SCP DEP dump. Because I used to swim in Ledgewood Basin in the 70s when the township employed lifeguards, and the Ledgewood Basin, a small pond at the bottom of the dump, was still safe to swim in. I wouldn't stick my toe in there now. This is a travesty. What has happened? There have been many wrongs that have been done. No one wants to place blame per se. If we can get this fixed, if we can have those wrongs undone and righted. I've lived in town since 1960, when the dump was basically abandoned. It was not a problem. It had not been a problem until laws were changed, designations were changed. Again, I'm not a technical person. And things were allowed to happen, the DEP allowed, what they allowed SCP to bring in, was not supposed to be brought in. And that's the main 99, I would presume, cause of our problem. All we're asking for is that what was brought in illegally be brought back out. You make amends when you do things wrong in life. And there will be more than 23,000 Roxbury residents affected, because based on whatever way the wind's blowing that day, it's been detected 3-4 towns away. And it is going and is affecting the groundwater. The Ledgewood Basin spills right into Drake's Brook and then into the Raritan River. So anyone that lives in these surrounding counties better test their water probably, I don't know, every week. And I thank you very much, and I request that, like everyone else that has been up here in regards to the Fenimore landfill, that you do whatever needs to be done to undo the injustices that have been done to all of us, New Jersey. Thank you.
Thank you. Fenimore speakers? Erica, it's your floor.
Thank you. I won't repeat what has already been said by the residents of Roxbury. I just wanted to echo what Dave Pfeiffer of Andrex said and what we said in 2011 when this redevelopment designation was first brought to the council, that it should have been a priority to focus on the remediation of this landfill and before the redevelopment was discussed. As you know from the comments that have already been said today, the remediation was not given the attention it deserved, and now the residents of Roxbury and the surrounding communities and all the water users that rely on the south branch of the Raritan River are suffering because of it. I want to bolster the comments of these residents in asking that the council now step up and use the authority that you've been granted from the state to help rectify this situation. Thank you.
Thank you.
afternoon. My name is Bob Schultz. I live in Sakasana, and I'm the president of REACT, which is the local grassroots organization that has been fighting the Fenimore landfill for the last 16 months. What has happened up there is a travesty. I've lived in Roxbury for 15 years. I lived behind the landfill. I knew it was there. I thought it was closed. That was what I was told. And we walked back there for many, many years, hiked back there. There was really no problems except for materials that were on top of the landfill. There might have been stuff under the ground, but everything was contained. There was no runoff, there was no leachate that we saw. Then what happened was the DEP came in and they allowed Mr. Bernardi to take over the landfill. And a critical piece of that was you guys giving the waiver to Mr. Bernardi in order to do the work that's been done up there, which has affected the health and lives of 23,000 people. Today, we got word that we submitted a petition to the ATDSR about the health effects that people in Roxbury have been having over the last 16 months, and they accepted our petition. And they'll be coming in and doing a study of all those health effects for the people, such as Maureen and members of my group and members and kids and residents, because the health effects are numerous and could be long-lasting. We don't really know, because not much testing has been done up there in the last 16 months. The ATDSR said it was a health hazard. That's their exact words. And they're going to finally study it. The township didn't call for the ATDSR. The NJDOH, even after thousands of emails and phone calls, did not do that as well. It was the people who did that. And I beg of you to reconsider and help us to rectify this wrong that has been done to the people of Roxbury. They didn't ask for this, but they're suffering through this on a daily basis. And the NJDEP is not listening to the residents and what they want, which is to get this material out of there, because we don't want to suffer for the next 20 years. We don't want the environment to suffer for the next 20 years. There's some serious stuff up there. The DEP won't even allow the township to come in there and test the material that is in there. Why is that? I don't know. I would suspect that there is something really bad in there that needs to come out. And we're not going to see those effects on the environment and in the Highlands region for maybe a couple more years. So we need to stop this now. Get the testing done on this landfill, find out what's in there, and then get it out. Because if you don't know what's in there first, we can't really know what to do with it next and where to bring it. So I beg of you as a council, please help out Roxbury. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Can I just say one other thing, please? I know some people were allowed to come up. Like two sentences.
Two sentences.
Thank you very much.
Not for you,
Hank. I just want to make sure that Brenda Isherwood, that's the Santa Roxbury Township, New Jersey. I just want to make sure that the gentlemen that are not present get that paper, and I'm not quite sure why a couple of gentlemen had to leave. I'm sure that probably happened.
It was church service.
But yeah, right, okay. Thank you. That's wonderful. And also, just that we they're saying our township isn't backing us up. It appears that's the appearance that we get. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. The residents, 98% of them want it trucked out. It can be trucked out. It's been proven that it can be trucked out safely. And I just beg of you to please do whatever you can to rectify this. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Marion Emery. I live at 3 Canal Street in Ledgewood. I'm also suffering health effects from Fenimore. I've developed very bad asthma. I've been in the hospital 3 times from it. I'm on 3 inhalers a day because of it. I have to wear a gas mask in my own house to walk around my house. I have to wear a gas mask. And if I don't wear a gas mask, I have to be in my bedroom with my door closed with an air purifier because the gases make me so sick that I go into an asthma attack. It got to the point where I have an nebulizer at home now, and the only way I have any relief is if I go and I stay at a friend's house, which I cannot do all the time because of my work. I cannot continue to live like this. I have parents that are sick that cannot live like this. My family has lived in Roxbury since the 1700s. And I am not going to continue to live like this. Somebody has got to help us. I wake up to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And to get out of Roxbury, I have to drive out wearing a gas mask, an H2S mask. I have to drive out wearing one of them onto the highway. Until I reach the border of Roxbury and Randolph, and then I can finally take it off. I have people staring at me through the car windows because of this. I can spend no time with my family because I'm shut up in my room. And when I'm not shut up in my room, I have a gas mask on, so how can I talk to anybody? I've been taken out of work in an asthma attack to the hospital. Somebody needs to do something. This stuff has got to get taken out. We did not ask for this, and they brought it in. We are asking for it to get taken out. So please help us get it taken out. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to speak? Just like to say, on behalf of myself and all the council members, I can assure you, we are listening to you. We understand the severity of the situation, the impact that it has on your community, on your personal lives. Here in Chester, like many of you, I've lived here nearly all of my life. We have Combville South that ended up becoming a Superfund site and was ultimately capped. It's 1,200 feet from my place. And I was a council member when it was all coming down. And right now we're finishing a water line that is one of the final steps of this giant remediation process. So I understand, and I know all of us here certainly are empathetic to your situation. What we can do as a council and what the law allows us to do may not be what we all personally want to do. We knew that you were coming today. We asked our staff to do some preliminary research so that we at least give you some sense of what we believe we can and can't do. And like to refer to our counselor first.
No, that's what I was going to
ask. Yes. And, so if you would, please.
Okay. Vice Chairman Alston, we have received a few letters on this topic. We've responded to those letters. Some of the concerns that were raised here were raised in the letters. The council in 2011 designated an area, the Fenimore landfill, for redevelopment contingent upon adequate remediation and final closure, which is under the jurisdiction of the DEP. So at that point in time, all that did was make this property eligible for exemption number 15, but it was subject to the ultimate approval and closure of the DEP. So the technical remediation standards are really within the jurisdiction of the DEP and not of the Highlands Council. So that's pretty much the status.
If I may just ask you a question, because it's never been asked of us before, do we have the authority to rescind a granted redevelopment area? And if so,
what are the criteria to do so? And is it addressed anywhere?
I'd rather look into that rather than give you an off-the-cuff remark, but I can certainly look into that if you'd like me to, if the council would like to.
I'm sure that's something council members would want to hear a report back on.
We've been discussing this evening sending a letter to the legislature supporting the dual appraisal. Is there any possibility that we could send a letter to the DEP saying that, you know, please do something about this? I will tell the people from Roxbury that when this came up a couple of years ago, we voted on this. I apologize. I voted yes, because it sounded like a great plan. It was presented to us that it was going to clean up the area. And I should have listened to Wilma. Wilma is sitting out there. Wilma Fry, she said that leave it alone. Leave it just the way it is. But we never knew it would turn out this way. And it's really, you know, I see people with tears in their eyes all throughout the whole audience out there. And it is a terrible situation. And they need to do something about it. And if we can't do anything about it as a council, we should do something as individuals. But I hope that we can send a letter to the DEP, the governor, the legislature, do something about it. These people are suffering. It's just a terrible situation. And if they're going to go in there and they're going to test the people for any kind of health issues, which we're hearing tonight that people are having, and if that's proven beyond a doubt that there's health issues, and if the state doesn't do anything about it, we're in a bad state.
Other council members?
Technically, it's not a redevelopment area, because was that ever approved by the DEP?
This council designated the area as a redevelopment.
We can't present something that didn't happen.
We designated the boundaries, then it was up to the DEP to grant the exemption with the waiver.
Did they?
That
point question is, was it ever granted? If it was never granted, and it's not an area of redevelopment yet. I mean, you know, we can certainly address that issue until we actually know what occurred. We can say to them, yeah, well, you know, we rethought this, and we want to make sure that no exemption be approved at this time. We can certainly say that, because if I understood you correctly, part of the condition was that the
context of the approval of the redevelopment area was at the time a solar energy facility was contemplated, but that would only be after the landfill was appropriately closed and capped. And so for that purpose, that was the purpose that the council considered.
Oh, it's kind of under frustration with the DEP. I mean, we just have to know the detail, and they have to tell us the detail.
Well, I think that,
and only they can tell us that.
I think we've been working on a 30-day clock on a number of issues, and I think that ultimately, this is going to be a 30-day clock. We're going to need to do some research. We've got to dig in and look back into the resolution that approved the redevelopment, explore a little bit exactly what the DEP has done, and also explore what our authorities are, whether we can rescind a redevelopment area, and if we do, what does it mean? What does that trigger?
Maybe they should come and testify to us what this is all about.
Not be available for the next meeting?
Well, I think we're going to task our council. We've just delayed regional master plan for 30 days, so now we've got something to work on for 30 days, it sounds like. So I think that, I think it would be fair to say on behalf of the council, we will direct our staff to do the appropriate research, and that for the next meeting we'll place this on the agenda and have a basis for giving you a response. Right now, any response we give you would really be
uninformed.
That's correct. And so we do need some time to let the staff dig into this and do a little research. So you have that commitment from us tonight.
Thank you.
Any other council members? Okay, then we're going to close the public portion of the meeting, and I believe we're going into executive session, right? So we'll be going back to the
Right, so this, the room's not closed yet. I'm going to read this into the record. Anyone is free to leave, obviously, but this, whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6 and following, permits the holding of closed sessions by public bodies in certain circumstances, and the council is of the opinion that those circumstances presently exist, and whereas the general nature of the subject to be discussed is anticipated litigation or contract negotiations in which the Highlands Council may become a party in connection with the potential approval of a contract to develop a fiscal impact assessment of the Highlands Water Protection Planning Act and associated regional master plan, for which advice from counsel subject to the attorney-client privilege is required, and other matters involving attorney-client privilege, now therefore be it resolved that the council may enter into closed session at its public meeting of April 17, 2014 for that purpose. It is anticipated at this time that the nature of the closed session will be made public upon completion or resolution of the issues to be discussed, except any matter protected by the attorney-client privilege will not be disclosed. We need a motion and a second and a vote.
Motion. Second.
Bob? Yeah. Kurt, did you second it?